Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We've got a lot of guests for you today. Mason and Ireland are going to stop by. They've agreed to do the best Lakers head-to-head all-time Lakers draft. So we're going to do the only thing that's changed is what, Greg? We're going to do the draft first, right? Because that's the way they want to do it. Because basically Ireland thinks Mason will screw it up if we draft first as opposed to then naming our top 30 first.
Yeah, so he wants to do the draft first, and that's what we're going to end up doing. But I already texted them this morning to say, you know, what comrex they should be on, and Mason is nervous. He's like, I don't want to F this up. I'm studying up on Clyde Lovett.
Clyde Lovett is not eligible. He played for the Minnesota Lakers.
This is what Ireland is talking about. He wants him to screw up so badly that he does things like this.
Yeah, it would be great. So we're going to do the draft first because, yes, there is a much larger chance of Mason screwing this up. And Michael was on with us yesterday and clearly felt that Mason was going to come in last here, that when we assemble our teams that he was going to come in last, our 10-man all-time Laker teams.
Absolutely easy. He's going to come in last, and he's going to end up – he's going to have the third – so there's a draft order that you guys did on Mason and Ireland yesterday. So you're first, Ireland is second, and Mason is third. I'm imagining his third and fourth pick, since it's a snake draft, is going to be like Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones at 3 and 4.
Yeah, I think that what's happening – I've got a strategy here.
Have you decided on the first pick?
Well, it's either going to be Magic, Kareem, or Kobe.
See, I think you should think about Shaq.
Why should I think about Shaq?
Because he is such a dominant force, and whoever you put around him, he is going to be able to – you're going to score, and you're going to have your big man already there. I mean, you're going to get – you're getting prime Shaq. He was unstoppable, especially in those like early 2000s Lakers teams. That's who you're getting.
Right, for sure, for sure. I get that part of it. But I think that you've got a lot of centers, you know what I'm saying, like in Laker history that are dominant.
Yeah, but is anybody more dominant than Shaq? Shaq is the most dominant big man ever. Can we agree on that?
I mean, I don't know about that, man. Like, Wilt's numbers are pretty ridiculous. And yeah, Kareem is arguably the greatest player of all time.
Sure, yeah, he absolutely is. But in domination and being able to – you know, Kareem and Wilt were not going to be able to guard Shaq. I'm sorry. It's just
what?
Nobody.
Wilt?
Well, no.
Wilt was the Shaq of his era.
Right, but he's also playing against much smaller competition. I mean, you don't know what he would do against Shaq. I mean, Shaq was, 7'1" and like 300-some pounds with quick feet, great spin moves. He had touch around the basket. He was just a beast. I don't know.
Dude, Wilt Chamberlain was 7'1", 275 pounds. Like, that's not like small. No, that's way bigger than Kareem.
Yeah, it is way bigger. Kareem, no offense to Kareem, but like Shaq would if it was just paint on paint, Shaq would destroy Kareem in the paint. But Wilt, I don't know. I didn't really watch too much Wilt, so I can't. That was way before my time. But I don't know. From what I've seen from Shaq, I don't know if anybody can stop him when he's playing. Like he would average like 40 and 20 against this competition.
Yo, Wilt Chamberlain Bergman averaged 50 points for a season. Right, I don't care who you're playing against.
Yes, you have to.
What do you mean? No. Get Michael on the phone back. Get Michael back on the phone right now to school you, Bergman.
No. Look, Michael's going to come on here, and he's going to talk about how, like, you know, all these things from the 60s. He still thinks that, you know, Happy Days is the number one hit TV show right now. So we can't go by what Michael says.
Well, and by the way, Shaq struggled against Olajuwon. You don't think he'd struggle against Kareem?
I mean, look, Kareem was an excellent defender, and so was Wilt. I'm not saying that it's going to be some no contest whatsoever, but Shaq is who Shaq was. He's a beast inside. I don't know, man. I honestly believe he is the most dominant ever.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I need some old heads to call in right now, okay? And school Bergman on how Wilt Chamberlain, let me get the phrasing right. Did you just say that Wilt had no chance of guarding Shaq?
Okay, I may have been a little bit hyperbole with no chance of guarding Shaq, but I do think that Shaq is the most dominant of those three, and he would win in like a one-on-one between any three of those. If you put like Shaq first Kareem and Shaq first Wilt, I would go with Shaq.
I mean, I probably would too, but it wouldn't, I mean, from a physical standpoint. But what I'm telling you is Wilt was almost as physical as Shaq in a different era, but almost as physical as Shaq, and might have had similar skill probably. I mean, he was definitely a better rebounder. Like, he was a better defender than Shaq was. And Kareem was way more skilled than all three of them.
Well, Kareem is the most skilled big man of the three of them. It's not even close. I mean, it would have having the sky hook, the things that he did, absolutely. But I don't know. I just think Shaq is just such a dominant figure inside. And being able to go inside out with him, if you were able to get somebody, like whoever you get on the other end, on the was that 6'7"? If you get somebody like, if you get like LeBron there, geez, LeBron to Shaq is insane.
I have a strategy on all this. Right. I have a strategy on how I'm going to pick. And because I believe that I'm not going to give it all away because they may be listening.
Mason's still sleeping. Come on now. But yeah, don't give it away.
Anyway, I have a strategy to this. And it's either going to be Magic, Kareem, or Kobe with the number one pick. That's the deal. Right. It's going to be that. So when are they coming on, Mason and Ireland?
They're coming on at 10:40.
Okay. Okay, 10:40. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that'll give us at least a segment or two, perhaps, if we need it to do the draft.
Exactly. So, and Cronin next.
Oh, Mick Cronin. Do we have any calls? I wonder if any old heads want to fight with you. Who do we got, Laura?
I got one on Twitter. You want that? Charles Freeman says, dude.
Steven Burbank. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, George? Berg, you got to remember, Chamberlain was not only – almost as big as Shaq, but he was a track star. So he was much faster than Shaq. So listen, I don't know if he could hold his own in regards to how dominant Shaq was, but there's no way that Shaq could take his speed. And like you said, George, much better rebounder, much better shot blocker. That's not even close.
Yeah, I actually think Wilt is he is a better athlete. He's just better than Shaq was.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaq, thank you, Steve. Shaq, remember, now that I think about it, Shaq called himself Wilt Chamberneasy.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So there you have it. You know what I mean? So I think that Shaq, as great as he is, look, you can't go wrong with any of those three guys, is what I'm saying. But Shaq and Wilt, you're disrespecting Wilt Chamberlain, his memory. May he rest in peace.
No, I'm not disrespecting him. Look,
you
obviously
are.
He's,
you
no,
are disrespecting him.
No, don't give me this disrespect nonsense. No, I just I'm giving more respect to Shaq from being probably because he's from my era. He's from who I watched the most, and I saw what he can and can't do, and how big and dominant he was inside. And he was also very skilled. So for all of that, that's where I'm going with. It's not disrespect.
Whatever. All right. Mick Cronin is coming up in a couple minutes. You're a big Mick Cronin guy.
Yeah. I was really happy that Mick Cronin was hired. There was all the other guys. Like, I wanted Billy Donovan, but that obviously wasn't going to happen. That was that pie in the sky type thing. But of all the guys that were out there after the top tier, you know, Calipari's, I just thought that the way that Mick Cronin focused on defense like Ben Howland did, and he had a good offensive structure as well, that this was the right guy for UCLA right now. And he proved me right.
He did prove you right. You were on the money. Now, there are plenty of times we make fun of you for not being on the money, kind of like this conversation about Wilt and Shaq. but in this situation, you were absolutely right on the front end.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you can admit that every once in a while for me.
Everyone. I give you credit. I'm not Mason in Ireland who just like basically call you a moron every day.
Oh, God, that's all it was. And I was on with Mason Ireland yesterday, and they basically were calling me a moron because of this how we're going to do the draft. Like, this was Sedano's thing.
Right. And you took the brunt of it. It was pretty hilarious,
I did.
So Mick Cronin is going to join us. We will talk to Mick Cronin. I'm excited to talk to Mick Cronin because I feel like, obviously, there's a lot of questions going on. I know Clay Helton was on yesterday with Mason in Ireland. Do we have any of the audio of how USC and Clay Helton are dealing with kind of the situation? Let me hear what Clay had to say yesterday with Mason in Ireland.
One, we're practicing our social responsibility, which is social distancing and staying at home and working from home. And, you know, we went into this thing basically with two priorities. One, to make sure that our players are healthy and safe, and then provide them the services that they need while they're at home. You know, so it is a constant communication of daily, basically, staff meetings and communications. Thank God for Zoom. I tell you, it's one of the best products I think we've all become accustomed to. But it allows us to do a variety of things. You know, one, our kids right now are not only doing their classes online from home, but they're also, we're providing them academic services and study hall from home and tutors, you know, from home, still being able to get their academic services when they're needed. It's also providing us updates medically. You know, we had 30 surgeries as of August 1st of last year, and you got guys that are rehabbing and being able to set up their rehab schedule, whether it's a physical therapist in their area or going from home and checking in with our medical staff. Then you got strength and conditioning. Aaron Osmus and his crew are doing an amazing job of being able to stay in constant communication with our guys, making sure that they've got all they need. We've actually provided our student-athletes equipment, whether it's bands, medicine balls, jump rope, things that they can do from home and not have to leave the house.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's smart, right? Like, you're just providing everything you can for them and giving them a way to communicate via social, via Zoom or whatnot, or Skype or whatever they're using, technology. I know that they're still doing stuff to prepare for the season. Like, they're giving them installations, he mentioned, and they're doing it all just on film right now, even though they can't necessarily 100% prepare the body, that they're preparing the mind, which is really smart. I'm curious to see, you know, with Cronin, how he's kind of dealing with his players and how he's interacting with them, how he's potentially interacting with recruits in such a weird, weird time, and challenging time right now. So we'll talk to Mick Cronin about that and just the season, that no one outside of Bergman basically gave him a shot. So we'll ask him about all that. Let me go to Mark though in Seal Beach, who wants to weigh in on the Wilt Shaq thing. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Laker boy here about Wilt. Will play against Bill Russell, arguably one of the greatest defensive centers of all time. Now, you're going to say he's only 6'9", but he could flat-out play, okay? How many championships, the NBA Finals trophy is named after Bill Russell. So, yeah, I don't buy it. He also, Will went against Bob Lanier, Will went against Nate Thurman, Will went against Wesley Unseld, Hall of Famers.
Yeah, all big, big dudes. Not like they weren't small guys. I mean, Russell was the smallest of those guys you mentioned, I believe.
Yeah, you can go back to the YouTube of Game 7, 1969, when Wilt takes himself out of the game with 5 minutes left, and Van Bredekhoff won't put him back in. And I think Wilt takes a bad rap for that. And I'd also like to comment on what the other caller said about Wilt, or Wilt was a track star at Kansas.
Yeah.
Bring up some YouTube footage of him from his early days. He was an amazing ball handler. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He was more skilled than Shaq was, for sure. And thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Hope you're safe. Okay.
Yeah. You guys stay safe. Wash your hands. And neither one of them could shoot free throws. Don't forget that.
Well, they definitely couldn't shoot free throws. Right. That's for sure. All right, Mark. Thanks again. Mick Cronin of UCLA will join us in just a second. This segment brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, where they have full court cell phone coverage that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high speed data and 2G for just $45 a month. Save you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Did you get your history lesson there, Bergman? Laker boy?
God. People are angry with me. They did not like my thing that they would go with Shaq over Wilt.
There you go. All right, Mick Cronin, the head coach of UCLA men's basketball, will join us next here on the Sedano Show. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mick Cronin, UCLA men's basketball coach, set to join us here in a few moments. ESPN Radio here on ESPN 710 is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got a little easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. And Mick Cronin will be giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Again, everything for less, only at Walmart. So, Mason did not know, as we wait for Mick Cronin, Mason did not know, Bergman, after you had sent him the time on a text, what time the draft was going to be?
It was very Mason of him, yes. I told him, like, the Comrexes will be open at 10:40, and he said, all right, what time do you want us?
Of course, very much so. Let's talk to the men's basketball coach, the head coach at UCLA. Mick Cronin joins us here. First of all, Mick, hope you and yours are safe and healthy, yes?
All good, my friend, all good.
Good to hear, good to hear.
How are you guys?
We're hanging in there, you know what I mean? We are doing our social responsibility, social distancing. We're all working from different locations. We have our board operator in the studio. All our hosts are working from home and producers are working from home. So we're doing our best to kind of get through a challenging situation, as you guys are, I'm sure, which was going to be my first question. Like, obviously you and yours are okay, but how are you dealing with this situation in regards to the communication with your players?
Well, it's different for all sports. My heart goes out to the spring sports and the athletes that lost all their hard work, didn't get to have their season, or maybe had a brief start. I know our baseball team and our was like, I don't know, top five in the country. Our women's softball, I think, was one or two in the country. But right now, basketball, we don't have a game for a long time. And probably I'm a big believer, the rash of knee injuries is because now these guys train year round since they're identified in seventh grade as a prospect. It's probably the best thing for them to have some time off. And so my message to my guys right now is let's just worry about academics. Well, there's going to be plenty of time to get back in the gym and train. Now I know that they need to do something or they're going to lose their mind because they're young and they got more energy than we do. But my focus is not trying to hurry up and get my guys, some plan to do an individual workout in a park right now. I mean, right now they need to. Everybody needs to just worry about following the orders of our local governments and do the social distancing. And just hit the books. Which, nobody likes to hear that, but you got to hit the books right now. Just let that be your focus. Is my message with our guys.
I'm with you. Work the mind, right? When you could still work the body maybe individually, but you can always work the mind regardless. But you are singing my tune, man. I am with you on, particularly when it comes to basketball, but just all sports, the specialization of kids at such a young age, like it really just drives me nuts. Like, and it's funny because, I've been doing this for 20 years, Mick, and the athletes that I've talked to over the years, they all hate specialization. And they hate the fact that, as you pointed out, that these kids are identified so young and they start to go down that path. Like, my guess is you're in that group as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up, I graduated from high school in 90. My dad's last year as a coach, he never had a losing record. He's in a lot of Hall of Fames as a high school coach back in Cincinnati, Ohio. But his best players were all at least two sport guys. Some three sport guys, but all at least two sport guys. I'm with you. I think it's bad, and not just for one reason. I think there's multiple reasons, pushing kids too young. You can take the love away, of the game from kids at an early age. They need to play to enjoy it. And if they're that passionate about it, sure. They want to specialize. Yes. But pushing specialization, is tough. And my daughter's never played 1 second of basketball. She's 13. If she wanted to play, I would support her. But she doesn't play. I've never pushed her on her one moment. She does everything I didn't do. She swim, volleyball, acting. So I think you got to let kids have their own passion and try to support it as a parent.
Yeah, man, amen to that. Mick Cronin, UCLA men's basketball coach, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Let's talk about your season for a second, man. First of all, congratulations, because it really was one of the greatest turnarounds in UCLA history. And look, there was a lot of noise about your hiring and just the hiring process even before you. How much satisfaction does one take in a situation like this, that, you know, the way this thing turned out? Granted, you would have loved to have played in the tournament, but just considering the way things went from beginning to end.
I'm pretty good at it. I don't really react and take any satisfaction on, what other people may have thought or think. My satisfaction would just be that our guys stayed together, worked hard. We had a great first year of bringing our program here at UCLA back to where we all wanted to be. So, that being said, it was a great year. And you mentioned the turnaround. It would have been very neat to have the NCAA tournament, because we were going to make it. And in modern times, probably, I don't know if I've ever heard of a team go from as dead as we were to in the NCAA tournament. Assuming we didn't win the Pac-12 tournament, assuming we got an at-large bid, I don't know if there's ever been a team go from as dead in the water as we were to making the tournament. It was a great run by our guys. They showed a lot of resiliency. Very, very proud of them, because as I kept telling them, the only people that can change this are the guys in the locker room. And we can change it. We just got to believe and follow the plan on how to change it. So, I don't like when people say absolutes, but it was close to as proud as I've ever been in coaching of a group of guys, because, you know, this day and age, so many people and teams and just pack it in when the going gets tough, and we did the dead opposite. So I'm just really, really proud of our players.
Mick Cronin, UCLA men's basketball coach, with us here on 710 ESPN. Yeah, listen, I'm with you wholeheartedly. What would you say was the most challenging moment, Mick? I mean, I would imagine that when things were at its worst, there were some moments, maybe yourself, that you struggled a little bit, but certainly I would imagine just dealing with young people, right? And they're so up and down in general. What was the biggest challenge, you would say, during the season for you?
Well, I would say, at your toughest points, that what I believe in, at least, and if somebody would ask me for advice for some reason, I would say that at your toughest points and your hardest challenges face you, that's where your beliefs will be tested the most, and that's where you are going to force to show the most conviction as a coach in what you believe in. And that was my focus. During some tough losses that we had after Christmas, before our turnaround, and you have to stand by your beliefs and convictions. And it's probably, people ask me, George, what's the difference in coaching at UCLA? I would say that there's pressure everywhere and there's voices everywhere. But when you're in a bigger, whether you're in New York or Los Angeles, you better be even stronger and believe even more in whatever it is you believe in, because it'll be challenged more. People are going to have more of an opinion. So, I think in those moments, as a coach, you have to project it, belief in what you're doing and confidence in your players that if we do the things we need to do, that we're going to get things turned around. So, That was my focus by late December, early January. You just have to really believe in yourself, and it probably helps you to be a little bit of a jerk. And I say that laughingly, because you can't have any doubt in what you're doing in those moments. It probably helps, in all seriousness, to have some experience, which I had experience. I had to rebuild Cincinnati. It was a long process. Raised the Titanic, so to speak, from the bottom of the ocean. And there was a lot of people that doubted us along the way, my staff and I and our players, as we raised the Titanic there and fixed all their academic issues, fixed not having any players on the team. And it wasn't smooth sailing for me early on in my tenure at Cincinnati. People probably don't know that outside of Cincinnati. So that experience probably really, really helped me. But again, you know, just like I said, it helps to be a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, yeah, for people that don't know, I mean, you didn't make... I'm with you. Listen, brother, you and I feel like are kindred spirits here with some of that. Ask my producer how much I'm of a jerk to him sometimes. But I mean it with love, Mick. That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. You know, I think in coaching, I heard this a long time ago from a veteran coach, you know, that he was advising me on hiring another coach. And he said, look, he's got the greatest gift you can have as a coach. Is he can get on a player sometimes extremely hard, and afterwards the player loves him even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not what you say, it's the delivery and the way you do it, the feel that with which that you do it with. So you know, that's a talent. It really is. You know, people know. I mean, hey, if you're not passionate, you're not going to be great at anything. You have no, you know, if you don't care about your show, the quality of what you're doing, you wouldn't have lasted this long. You wouldn't be very good at it. So, I mean, that's all part of it. But it was really a magical run. It was almost surreal, to be honest with you, as it just kept going on. You know, I remember when Jaime Jaquez hit the shot to beat Arizona State, who had just a great team. They had an unbelievable college backcourt. I mean, Remy Martin, Edwards, and these guys could shoot. You couldn't guard them. And they were hot against us. And when they're hot, they just win every game. And somehow we won that game. My dad was in town. We're after the game. We're back at my house eating. And I just said, it's unbelievable. I just looked at, you know, how did we win? I mean, you know, guy Rob Edwards hit 7 threes. I mean, a guy hits 7 threes against you, you don't win.
Right.
You just don't do it. You know, Remy Martin has 30. And we still win. It was probably one of the, you know, the funnest months of my coaching career going through that.
Mick Cronin, UCLA men's basketball coach with us here. Mick, I got a couple of quick ones for you on the way out because I'd talk to you forever, but I got to run. Unfortunately, I got to pay bills, but I want to sneak in a couple of quick ones for you if you got a second here. Let's talk about Chris Smith, who became, look, he was amazing for you this year, and there's talk about him maybe going pro. I know the waters are a little murkier now, obviously, because of the situation we're dealing with right now. What do you think is in his best interest? What kind of conversations have you had with him about the process?
None. I think it, you know, when Chris wants to have those in his family, they know I'm more than happy to support them. I think what people don't know out there is, you know, they think, hey, you know, college coaches, UCLA fans, or coach, you need to tell him this, you need to tell him that. Well, I'm not his parent. Okay, you know, I'm his college coach. He's had plenty of coaches and people in his life. I'm not his father. So they know they're great people. You know, Chris's parents are awesome, great people. But I'm not his parents, so they know I'm going to support Chris and give him any advice that he seeks. So that being said, whatever he chooses to do, I'm going to support him. Now is the question of, you know, the NBA and what's going on for anybody. Well, you said the waters are murky, and I would just say this for anybody. The waters are clear. There's numerous NBA draft boards, and I've had guys get drafted, and I've had guys not get drafted. I've never had a guy get drafted that wasn't on the board. I've never had a guy go in the first round that was in the second round of every mock draft. So I think there's a lot of advisors out there, so-called advisors, that mislead players. And I think you would get the same answer if you were talking to Tom Izzo or Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams or, you know, anybody at programs where guys go pro. So that's just part of it. But, you know, hey, Chris, he had a great year. And he's such a nice kid. He's a great kid. So my job is going to be support him in whatever he chooses to do.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm with you on a lot of the voices, let's just call them, in some of these kids' ears. And yeah, and look, it's the unfortunate situation, and it dates back to what we were talking about earlier, right? When they're young and people are in their ear and in the family's ear and kind of creating this narrative that may or may not exist, right? Like, not everybody is going to be an NBA player, at least not right away, right? Everybody takes a lot of different paths. I cover the NBA for a living, Mick. I do sidelines for ESPN. There are guys, you know, who do, you know, there are Fred VanVleets, right? Who have to take the long road, or Pascal Siakam, Duncan Robinson. Like, there are a lot of those guys, yeah, in the league that make it. But for every one of those guys, there's 1,000 that don't make it. So, yeah, to your point, there are too many voices.
Yeah. Well, and look, you got to remember, in defense of everybody, okay, and people like to say, oh, you know, aren't they smart enough? Don't they see? No, they don't see, because they haven't gone through it before. They're not George Sedano, who covers the NBA and has seen the carnage of you know, hundreds and hundreds of guys not make it, and very few make it. They didn't live those experiences. So, you know, when you're dreaming that the Victoria's Secret model at the end of the bar is, you know, going to give you her phone number, you know, you're going to hold on to that dream. I mean, it's just reality. I mean, when you're young and, you know, people are telling you you got a shot, we're going to sit there and say, well, no, I don't. So it's a very tough dynamic. And there is no right answer. And even though you can sit there and point to guys, well, he came out too soon, he wasn't good enough. Well, Sonny Vaccaro would tell you that, yeah, but at least he got some money before they figured out he wasn't good enough. So I understand guys that come out early, maybe not ready, but they go in the first round and they get the guaranteed money for their families. But the guys that do not make it, George, I get the phone calls. Guys need jobs. Guys want to get into coaching. And guys need a college degree. From all the guys that play in Europe and they're done playing when they're 30, you got to remember, do you have a job resume? No, you've been playing basketball. You haven't had a job. So you're 30, you have no resume. And even if you have a degree, it's now you got to start your career. Guys want to get into coaching, need a degree. So, you know, I see the carnage on a daily basis, you know, calls from the past of players that you've coached, players that you love, and you're trying to help them on a weekly basis, find employment, find jobs, transition to their phase of life after basketball. So, but again, the 20-year-old kid that's got a chance at the NBA, he can't see all that. You know, he's living in the moment. And there is no right or wrong answer to it. So, you know, as a coach, all you can do is support your player if he goes to try to make that decision and help him as much as you can.
Got one more for you. Mick Cronin with us here, UCLA men's basketball coach. They had a phenomenal season this season. It's a shame that they weren't able to finish it and see it through the tournament. Obviously, though, you know, extenuating circumstances that we're all dealing with. But let me ask you about recruiting. I mean, how do you – are you doing it? How do you do it? Are you using Zoom, Skype? What are you doing right now, Mick?
Well, here's the thing. Usually the teams that are still playing – are at a huge disadvantage because they're playing at a time where you work your whole season to play in March if you're still alive. And the advantage is for the guys that are done. Right now, we're all on the level playing field. We're all at home, and we all got a phone. So that's an unusual thing for us. And I'm just hoping it stays uniform with the NCAA. You know, my biggest fear is, you know, we're all in a moratorium with all we can do is use the phone and FaceTime and all the stuff you alluded to till April 15th. And the last thing we need are conferences. Some say you can recruit, some say you can't. We need to have a make sure it's nationally Division I uniform. So whenever we can open back up, because I have an obvious feeling with the, you know, after what the federal government said about keeping it shut till the end of April, that we're definitely not going to open up recruiting on after April 15th, as it says right now. So it's just phone calls, my friend. I mean, you know, you can do it however you want to do it. So I'm actually going to be heading down to campus today to walk around and do a little FaceTime. That's the only way you can give a guy a visit right now.
Yeah, it is wild, right? You got it FaceTime, or you shoot, you know, you have a group shoot videos for you. We are in some strange, strange times, but I do think we'll all get through it together, Mick. And thank you so much, man, for taking the time to come on the show today. I definitely want to do this again soon. And whenever I can get out of this house and actually drive down to Westwood, you and I got to get together and chat for a little bit. Is that cool with you?
It's easy. You know, I like to brag. This is a recruiting one. It's not like the weather's ever bad here.
Yeah.
Come on down. I'm sitting outside talking to you right now. So Love to do it, you know, and you do great work. Obviously, I've seen you on for a long time.
Well, thank you, Mick. Appreciate it. I'm a big fan of yours as well. Thanks again for coming on, and we'll talk again soon, hopefully. Take care and be safe and healthy, you and your family.
You as well. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Mick Cronin with us here, UCLA men's basketball coach. He was fantastic. All right, coming up next, Mason in Ireland, the draft. Stick around. We're back in a few minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mason and Ireland are coming up in a second to do the all-time Laker draft. If you miss any one of our interviews, including Mick Cronin of UCLA, the men's basketball coach, he was fan-freaking-tastic. Like, if you missed it, go back and check it out in our interview on demand section for the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or wherever you find your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Boys, how are you?
It's Cronin Mania!
Oh, man. Ireland disconnected. We have an issue with Ireland already.
Am I here?
You're here. Okay, you're here, good. Baby. Yeah, the Alliance is here.
I missed the entire Mick Cronin interview, but I am going to go listen to it on demand right away since you are raving about Mick Cronin.
It really was good. Like, he was really, really good. He was fun. He was interesting. It's first time I've spoken to him. So, yeah, like, it was fantastic. I'm ready to drive down to Westwood whenever we can actually drive down there again.
There you go. My goal here is to not screw this up. Apparently, both you and Ireland think I am going to be a disaster at this little game we got.
So let me state the rules here as we get Ireland ready to roll. The rules are we are going to select 10-man teams. Each of us are going to select 10-man teams. We'll pick our starters, obviously, first here in the first part of the draft. And we're going to have a snake draft, so I will go first, Ireland will go second. That means Mace will have the third and fourth pick, Ireland will have the fifth pick, then I will have the sixth and seventh pick, and then it goes back to Ireland, so on and so forth. That's how this will work. You can pick
and I'm guessing, by the way, picking at three, both Magic and Kobe will be off the board.
Well, you're guessing.
You're guessing.
I'm just guessing right now, but I don't think – I think George is going to take either Kobe or Magic, and then John's going to take the other one, which is going to leave me at three. This is my prediction on the way I expect things to go down.
Yeah, well, there's a reason they call you last place, Mace. You are the worst drafter in fantasy sports
history. I am going to kill this thing. I am going to absolutely kill this thing.
I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Yeah, Michael, by the way, asked him yesterday who he thinks will win. Now, he thought I would win, but that Ireland would be close. And that Mason would come in last by far.
Oh, right. You know what
just
I'm going to
do?
Just
for that, I was going to take Michael early, and now he's blocked. Bam.
Yeah, I'm going to take. I am going to take Michael. I'm going to go for the sentimental pick. How can he pick against himself?
He's like Mocha Joe. Bam.
Spike center. He's the spike center.
How great. By the way, let's get off this for one sec. How great is that episode? First of all, the episode where they're actually going through with the newscast, I guess, comes in to do film a feature about it. And then they go to the Jonah Hill, the Spite Deli or whatever it is that he's, oh my God, this season has been
fantastic.
And then
the Mila Kunis has the Spite, watch store.
Right, right.
Yeah, great would it be if you could do a Spite network? You know, with all the jerks we've all worked for over the years, like if you could just come up with your own network to spite all the knuckleheads we've had to work for.
I feel like awesome. I feel like radio did that. It's called Sirius XM.
Yeah, you're right.
That's that was Howard Stern's Spite Store. That's totally true.
Yeah, that's what he did. His Spite Store was Sirius.
And Mel Karmazan was Mocha Joe. Yeah, that's
right.
A good point. Yeah.
Right, right. And then Mel Karmazan went and joined him. He took Mocha Joe with him.
Yes, he did.
That's how that worked. But
so
anyway.
Am I able to take Clyde Lovellette?
So that was the other part of the rule. Los Angeles Lakers. They had to have been. So Mikan is off the table. I know I texted you guys yesterday. And I was listening. Yeah, no Lovellette. I was listening because I was walking. I was practicing my social distancing while getting some exercise yesterday.
Oh, good, good.
As a P1 of the Mason and Ireland show.
Do you take the babies for a walk?
We do sometimes, but that was a solo walk for me yesterday. I needed a solo.
So, man, how do you get a solo walk? I've been trying to get a solo walk for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to take Sophie and Fredo out for walks.
My wife or my son will always go, no, let me go. I'll go with you. Everybody's so
do you take Reagan for walks?
Oh, she's had more walks in the last 3 weeks than she's ever had in a three-week period in her life.
Yeah, I think Sophie and Fredo are bored with it. Really? We're going outside again? Yeah. Really? This is more for you than it is for us.
By the way, Mason, I do like the interesting rapport you have with your new producer, Lindsay. She takes no crap from you, which is
interesting. Boy, I'll tell you what. She actually dishes it out. I've not worked with somebody who dishes it out that way. Bergman was really soft. Lindsay brings it.
Bergman was Smithers to Mr. Burns. Lindsay is the opposite. Lindsay's like Roz on Frasier.
And by the way, Lindsay's very nice to John. She really unloads on me, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that sometimes you need someone to push back on you a little bit, Mason.
Yeah, I think it's working. I think it's working. She's certainly better than Bergman. That's the big thing.
It's a very low bar to clear, though.
Do you want it?
Don't worry about it.
Go ahead, Bergman. Speak for yourself there.
I was saying the ratings said otherwise when I was there. So.
Oh, wow.
Hey, great. Greg, you're in management now?
Yep.
How's that Will Cain show doing for you?
It's, you know what, Will Cain is doing his
job.
That's
a great management choice by you. Way to go.
That was your choice, right, Bergman? Your management. You were the one that actually made that
I am in support of whatever ESPN decided.
There you go. You're in support of the Will Cain show. I just want to make that clear. Go ahead, George.
All right, this segment brought to us by our friends at My Computer Career. With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home is important with SimpliSafe. Actually, it's SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe, you'll have 24/7 professional monitoring. Get free shipping at SimpliSafe.com. So just Bergman, I'm going to let people behind the curtain. Bergman is supposed to edit these things for me, my reads, and he puts them on a doc for me. It literally says, title, My Computer Career, and then I start reading, and it's SimpliSafe.
Yeah, that's Bergman.
Now you know what we put up with.
That is so
years.
Bergman. So Bergman.
Yeah. Thanks,
always,
Bergman.
There's always something that. Yeah.
Lindsay would never do
it.
That.
Lindsay would be more buttoned up. It's why we should let Laura do all this stuff. To be honest with
Laura
you,
Laura is.
Hey, be careful. Greg will take that ramp and just run right up it. So if you want to offer that, I'm sure he'll do it.
Laura's doing enough already on this show. She already
Laura
has enough
doing
to deal
a fantastic
with.
Job.
Yeah, all right, let's go, Sedato.
All right, let's go.
Who are you taking?
All right, so first pick in the all-time Laker draft, I am taking Kobe Bean Bryant.
Whoa! That's a little bit of a surprise.
I thought he was going to do that. I thought there was a real chance. Now go ahead and take Magic.
I'm going to zig while everyone is zagging.
I will take the greatest leader in the history of team sports, Magic Johnson.
Okay.
Okay, now I get back-to-back picks.
Yeah.
And I am going to go Shaq and Jerry West.
Okay.
Really?
So hold on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I'm keeping track of it. Don't worry.
I mean, Mason, Shaq and Jerry West.
Wait, that is I can't believe you just did that.
Why?
Because I'm taking LeBron.
Oh. I had that. I totally.
How did you not take LeBron?
I totally had that.
How did you not take LeBron, Mace? I mean,
well, I wanted the logo.
I get that you wanted the logo, but you could have had Shaq and LeBron, and not the 2009 2009 Cavs version.
Yeah, no, I blew that.
George, you get two.
Damn.
Oh my God. Now this gets interesting because I thought I was going to only have one center to pick from. I've got two of the best centers. I've got two of the greatest to pick from.
Well, you could take them both and really screw me.
No, I don't think that, because remember, fit matters here, guys.
Yeah.
Remember, fit matters.
Yeah.
So I couldn't necessarily play Will. I mean, I guess I could play Will and Kareem together, but that's not functional. I'm going to take Kareem. And Anthony Davis.
Ah.
Okay, that's a good pick. Okay, so I've got Magic Johnson, LeBron James. I am going to take. Oh, I'm building the Warriors. I'm going to take Elgin Baylor.
Okay,
that's a good pick.
All right, Mace, you get two.
I am going to take. I am going to take James Worthy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I am going to take AD's gone. Who's at the four? I don't like anybody at the four. Who's at the three? I don't like anybody.
This is
so we will after this pick, we're going to pause for a break and come and finish it up.
And, yeah, with the four. Okay,
okay,
you got me.
Just to keep him off the board, I'm going to take Wilt.
Okay, so Mason's got Wilt. So let's just recap real quick.
Okay,
so I took Kobe one. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Ireland, you took
it.
Magic, right?
Right.
Mason took Shaq and Jerry West. And then you, Ireland, took who? Oh, LeBron, right?
LeBron. I have LeBron, Elgin Baylor. You have Kobe, Kareem, and AD.
Right, Kobe, Kareem, and AD. So that's what we've got right now. We're going to take a break. We're going to finish up the draft on the other side. The all-time Lakers draft, Los Angeles Lakers draft, 10-man teams. We will continue with Mason and Ireland in just a moment.